most full-time workers across the U.S. who earn minimum wage cannot afford a place to live. That's according to a new report from the National Low Income Housing Coalition. It found that minimum wage workers in 93% of counties across the country can't even afford a one-bedroom apartment. Let's bring in Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Hi, Robin.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, good. So this is really quite remarkable. First, explain what the report considers an affordable housing expense.
Affordability here is defined as the hourly wage a full-time worker must earn to spend no more than 30% of their income on rent. 30% being consistent with, you know, personal finance 101, budgeting 101. This year, workers would need to earn just under $25 an hour for a two-bedroom home, and $20.40 per hour for a one-bedroom rental. That's up from about $24 and $19.56 last year.
Okay, minimum wage way below that, well, everywhere, and for some worse than others. The rates vary across the country for minimum wage, as do rent prices. But on average, how much more would a minimum wage worker need to earn to be able to afford a one-bedroom apartment?
Yeah, the average hourly worker currently earns just under $19 per hour, so you're a good $6 shy for just a one-bedroom rental. This is all in theory, of course, as you mentioned, with state and local wage requirements all over the place. The report finds that the average minimum wage worker in the U.S. would need to work nearly 97 hours per week just to afford the average two-bedroom home. We're talking 100 hours a week here, well more than two full-time jobs. I mean, a junior banker on Wall Street who works 90 100-hour weeks is making, you know, mid-six figures, $140,000, $150,000, and after a bonus with all sorts of benefits. So it is really striking.
The report also breaks down the racial disparities that are a significant part of the problem. What do the numbers tell us about that?
Black and Latino workers, who we know already make less than their white counterparts, they're more likely to spend more of their take-home on rent. In this case, more than 40% of Black and Latino households spend north of 30% on their income on rent versus 25% of white households. So 40% households of color versus 25% of white households.
In our final minute here, I want to ask, what's the most effective solution to this problem? Is it simply raising the minimum wage? Certainly easier said than done. Is it lowering rent prices? Also hardly an easy thing to do. Maybe both. What is the answer?
I don't believe there's a fast and easy quick fix of just a couple of bucks over a few years. You know, what you're seeing is such a yawning chasm between prevailing wages, which have been stagnant, and the cost of living, which has been increasing, to say nothing of other inflationary pressures that we've been talking about recently. And what about the federal, state, and food, you know, federal and state food, housing, healthcare assistance that goes to so many low-wage workers in the service sector, while the likes of Walmart and McDonald's pay out big executive compensation and shareholder dividends and buybacks? If minimum wage workers in 93% of counties across the nation can't even afford a one-bedroom apartment, we should be asking how useful this minimum wage reading is to begin with.
Robin Farzad is host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you, Don.